Blog Talk Radio.
5, 6, walking forward. Not yet. Go!
And that was awesome. I'm Ruben Wolf, and I've seen every episode of The Goldbergs and didn't live through the 80s.
I'm Sean Gibbs. I lived through the 80s, and I've seen like one episode, maybe two now, of The Goldbergs.
Yeah, technically two. And yeah, we dissect The Goldbergs. I should have mentioned that. I always write these things and then I fuck it up on air. But yeah,
mistakes are golden.
They're Goldbergian.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Yeah, this is a podcast dedicated to talking about the gold ABC's hit sitcom, The Goldbergs, and we're on episode 2, Daddy Daughter Day. And Sean, let's get right into it. Yeah, this episode's pretty important because there's a lot of mythology building here, and I know you've only seen 2 episodes, but what? Yeah, I told you there's like mythology episodes.
Oh, boy.
But there's a whole mythology. Yeah. So we open with a montage of 80s TV dads. We get Conrad Bates.
Different
show.
Yeah.
We get Tony Danza from Who's the Boss. And I couldn't place the third. Was it Silver Spoons?
I think it was Silver Spoons. Yeah, he was on like a choo-choo train or something with a hat on. Yeah, I was like, looked like a... He looked like a church lady. What's his name? But yeah, I couldn't remember.
It was like Dana Carvey.
It is Dana Carvey?
No, it looked like him though. You're right.
It looked like Dana Carvey.
It was a younger dude. And I have a problem with this opening montage because Tony Danza wasn't the father on Who's the Boss.
No, he was like the weird friend, right?
But he
or like
was
the uncle,
as a maid.
Like a fake. Right.
The premise of the show is that Judith Light, I guess, needed a maid and Tony Danza needed a job.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the 80s looking for jobs during the recession.
Right. I mean, it's a lot weirder now. We can say that.
I just want to stress, it hit me right when I'm looking at a freeze frame of Gary Coleman. I can't... overstate how massive Different Strokes was. That show was so big. Yeah, it was crazy huge. It was like the number one show for like ever until they got the little redhead country kid Sam. Then it just kind of went to shit. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. The 80s was notorious for like jumping the shark and stuff, right? All that stuff.
Jumping the what?
Have you never heard the phrase jumping the shark?
No. Is that like a new kid's term?
No. Oh, my God. I can't believe you don't know this. So it comes from when Fonzie jumped the shark on Happy Days.
Okay.
It defines something a TV show does when the ratings are when the ratings are starting to go down. It's something they do to increase the ratings. So, like, one of the things was, like... Yeah, so like in Moonlighting, how Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd have like this flirtatious relationship. They jumped the shark when they put them together.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah, they really fucked up when they jumped the shark with the redhead kid with the banjo or the guitar or whatever he did on Different Strokes. That was the end.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible. I don't even know. Anyway, we get this opening narration from Patton Oswalt of TV dads in the 80s were loving, nurturing, and millionaires. But none were my dad, Murray. And Murray enters the kitchen where Barry's eating cereal and starts yelling at him about adjusting the thermostat. And, Sean, I got to ask, what the fuck is with dads and thermostats?
Yeah, I don't know. My mom, too, like, maybe it was an 80s thing. It was always either 10 degrees hotter or colder than I thought it should be. And if I would just bump it, like, 2 degrees to, like, 72 degrees in the winter, it would be, like, crazy fallout would happen.
Yeah, I mean, my mom's kind of like this now. But we have those, like, electrical thermostats at home. When I go home, like, they have those electrical adjustable ones. And, like, I guess it's because when it gets colder, especially in Florida, when you make it colder and the air conditioning blasts, it just drives up the electric bill.
Gotcha. And
I guess
but I don't ever remember anyone's dad walking around in their underwear.
Oh, my parents walked around naked.
Maybe weird. My Brazilian friend, his whole family did that, and he decided to do that while I was down in Brazil with him. He was just naked all the time.
Well, it's freaking hot in Brazil, and it's hot in Florida where I'm from, so I guess I kind of get it. I remember I had a friend over once when I was, like, 8 years old, and my dad was walking around naked by accident. Like, not on purpose. He wasn't trying to impress my friend or anything. That'd be weird.
Oh, my God. That'd be weird as fuck.
Yeah. So, anyway, I also wanted to point out that did you notice the cereal Barry was eating in the scene?
I tried to notice it. It looked like a Trix, or it looked like a cross between like Trix or Captain Crunch or Lucky Charms.
It's Pac-Man cereal.
Oh, interesting. I had Pac-Man cereal. That was not out for very long.
No, it was really, I looked it up. It was real. It was released by General Mills in 1983 to 1988.
Yep.
It was discontinued in 1988. And this is important because our timeline for this episode is somewhere in the 80s from 83 to 88. And part of the show is I'm going to point out things that might interfere with that timeline.
Funny side note, I used to live with Torbett Schwartz on Union and Mosier with Shannon Moore, and my buddy came back from the bodega in 1998 with a can of Pac-Man pasta.
What?
That had been on the shelf since 1980, whenever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pac-Man pasta in 1998.
Now, you pointed out how huge Different Strokes was, but, like, compared to Pac-Man, I guess they're different, but what was the mania of, like, Pac-Man? I think it's obvious to say how huge Pac-Man was.
Yeah, because it had a song, Pac-Man Fever, Pac-Man Fever. Pac-Man Fever, I think, was a number one hit for, like, 3 weeks. It was a terrible song.
Yeah. What a different time the 80s was.
I had the 45, though. I had the 45.
That's so cool. That's sick. If we had a website, I'd tell you to upload it. Anyway, this is also a really interesting point because the Goldbergs do have a favorite cereal, and I don't want to give it away, but it's going to be very obvious when they mention it over several episodes.
Huh.
Or maybe
I'm sure I ate it. I don't know. You're the host.
Let's let that mystery hang, and you'll figure it out.
So that like mystery.
So Murray storms out of the room, and then we get Beverly staring at Adam while he sleeps. He wakes up, and Beverly delivers this funny line, which I love to him. If you would let me stare at you during the daytime, we wouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was so creepy. Creepy mom. And even creepier is she's like, this is like, what, 7:30 in the morning? And she's got like full eyeshadow on and lip gloss. Like that was nighttime stuff.
There's a whole, they have a segment in an episode dedicated to how terrible Beverly's hair is, like how much hairspray she uses. It literally is like,
oh, I love her. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I have so many notes about her hair looking hot. It looks great in every episode.
It does. No, I mean, like, it's great. It's not like a helmet or a wig or anything like that, but, like, she uses about a can of hair. Like, just by looking at it, you can tell she uses, like, a can of hairspray. Every day.
It was definitely Aquanet, for sure. Also, my mother stares at me when I'm sleeping, and she told me when she visited last. She's like, yeah, I got up early and just watched you sleep for a while.
I guess it's not really creepy when you're the mother, but, like, I think my mom used to watch me sleep, too. When I was younger, I have, like, a one vivid memory of it, but it's funny you bring that up, because the next point about how this is because Beverly is going to take Adam shopping for his first day of school clothes. It's the first day of seventh grade.
Yes.
That I relate to. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, definitely. Going to Venture, which was like back then like kind of like a weird Walmart, but maybe more like a Big Lots. Nah, I can't even describe. It was like a Target for like severe white trash people, but it was awesome. Oh, before I had a little note, I love his Time Bandits poster that was just briefly flashed above his dresser. That was a sick movie back then.
I haven't seen that. I really should, because that's a Terry.
Oh, Gilliam, my God. You haven't seen Time Bandits? Oh, I saw it like three times in the theater when it came out.
I've seen every other movie, I think, on Adam's wall, like Raiders and Star Wars and Goonies.
Yeah, wasn't that Terry Gilliam part of that, too?
No, Spielberg was part of Goonies. He produced it. But I also want to point out it's disappointing that, I mean, we get the movie references on the wall, but I remember I told you last week that Adam always has the shirt. Like, his shirt is always, it always screams just, this is the movie from the 80s. We didn't have that this episode. There was no 80s t-shirt, or no 80s movie t-shirt this week.
Oh, there was. I caught it. It's later.
Okay, save it for later.
Should I let you know now, or should I let you know later?
No, surprise me with it, because I don't remember why.
Okay. Yeah, it's really subtle. You had to have seen the movie.
I'm excited for it.
Cool.
So they go to shop.
I'm sure you haven't seen the movie.
I mean, if I haven't seen Time Bandits.
Then you probably haven't seen this movie.
Okay, I'm excited to hear this. So they go to shop at Gimbel's, which is kind of the store that they always go to throughout the
Gimbel's.
Show. Do you remember Gimbel's?
No, it just seems like an 80s like chain that you would go to get your school clothes.
So funny you say that. So Gimbel's is a real department store, started in 87.
Oh, really?
1887. Yeah, it started in 1887 and closed down and was liquidated in 1987. So right now we still have a timeline that works.
That must have been like an East Coast thing.
It definitely must have been East Coast. Wait, didn't you grow up in Jersey?
No, Kansas City. But I've been out here for like 22 years.
Right.
So you can say I grew up out here.
So then another
end of podcast. End of podcast. He's from Missouri. Fucking bullshit.
Another mythology happens in the next scene because Barry comes into the living room where Murray's still in his underwear, sitting around as he always does, needing $20 for his rap group, and he says, "Big Tasty," I forgot the line already. I should have written it down.
Yeah,
but he calls himself. Go ahead.
I think you're cutting out.
No,
I think you're cutting out. Okay, cool.
So Big Tasty is like Barry's alter ego, and it's kind of based on the fact that Troy Gentile, or Gentile, can like really freestyle in real life. And it's shown off, They use it for comedic effect because he can make his rap, like, really bad. As you saw, we'll get to the end of the episode, but you saw at the very end, like, he has a rap bit. So Murray says no, but then Eric comes in and says, "I need $20 for girl stuff." And Murray doesn't really know what that means. He just knows it's gross. He gives him the $20. It's funny the way he like held open his wallet.
Yeah, like you dig out the money. Yeah, I think that definitely was an 80s thing. There was a stigma with women's feminine hygiene. It was not talked about and very, I mean, people are still kind of weird about it, but I mean, back then I think there was almost like a phobia. And I remember getting over that phobia pretty early. It's just like, this is kind of a natural thing that happens all the time, right?
Is this a sex? Isn't like last week we heard like a sexism from Pops in Erica's direction. I mean, like, I'm not trying to point out like it's problematic or anything like that, but like, is this a sexism to like be grossed out by girl stuff?
I don't think it's sexism, but I think it's something that maybe they're pointing out that people kind of grew out of, or maybe dads are still freaked out by menstrual blood, or I don't know. Maybe people are. I don't know.
I mean, in Murray's...
I don't think it's...
In Murray's defense, if I was, like, walking around and I almost bumped into my daughter's bra, I would probably get a little freaked out, too.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
a sexist thing. I think he's physically ill. It bothers him physically when he thinks that his daughter is becoming a woman. There's something in him that is at the core of his being that he can't control, and he's trying to, and he's physically going to throw up. He's like, going to be sick.
Are we diving too much into the psychology of Murray?
Maybe. Maybe this will be the basement on the foundation of episodes to come. I don't know.
I hope not. But anyway, Beverly.
There was a sick Casio calculator watch that what's-his-name had on, too. I had the same watch. I felt really cool.
Was it Adam Barry Murray?
Yeah. The little guy.
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't catch that. Good catch.
I did. I had that in fourth grade.
Good for you, man.
And I would have killed for his sick Star Wars wallpaper that he had in his room too. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, the money that they make, like the Goldbergs probably make, and it says, like, you know, in the narration, he's like, oh, all the TV dads were millionaires. But, like, you're not struggling, Adam.
No, they were making a minimum of $50,000 more a year in that household than mine growing up, for sure. Like, they're probably making a cool $125,000 a year. Yeah.
Anyway, so Beverly then proposes to Murray, you don't spend any time with your daughter, how about a daddy-daughter day? And Murray reluctantly agrees, and then we get... I'm twisted up inside, but nonetheless I feel the need to stay. I don't know the future, but the past keeps getting clearer every day. The theme song, and just a little insight. The theme song is a song called Rewind by a band called I Fight Dragons. And I guess they're called Nintendo Core. Like, they use a lot of, like, Nintendo sounds for their rock music. Sounds pretty cool.
Okay. I was wondering, I'd never heard that before. It sounded legit, though.
Yeah, I remember when I first watched the show, I was like, I wonder if that's, like, a real song or just the theme song made for the show. But it's a real song. It's a real band. I Fight Dragons.
I Spy Dragon.
Yeah. So post theme song, Pops visits Adam and sees his pack to school garb. And now I defer to my fashion expert, Sean. What in the hell is this?
Oh, the day glow?
No, it's the train. The train shirt.
Oh, okay. I got way past you. Yeah, that was some creepy, like, mom. Fetish, like child fetish, something like wanting to keep her child a child forever. That was, yeah. If I would have gotten that, if I would have worn that to school in seventh grade, I would have gotten my ass kicked for the rest of junior high. That was terrible.
I loved it. It's a shirt that says train.
Yeah, and then later she says he wants to be dangerous. She's like, trains are dangerous. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah, cool. we're gonna get to that because that's another Goldberg mythology thing I'm gonna point out. But before that, I want to point out another Goldberg formula that we talked about last week too. Already 4 minutes and 48 minutes into the episode, we get our swear word of the week, and it's so worth it. Adam up and down in his train shirt and goes, "Holy shit."
Oh yeah. They bleeped it too. I remember that.
Yeah, every week they do a bleep word. So this is our bleep word. I put swear word of the week. Let's call it bleep word of the week.
I like bleep word.
Bleep word of the week.
Curse word. Those curse words on ABC.
So our bleep word is Pop saying, "Holy shit, it's wonderful." So Pops agrees to take Adam shopping. Meanwhile, Erica and Murray's idea of spending time with his daughter is taking her to the roller rink. Any relevance to you?
Yes, I was. I can still roller skate better than 99% of the people on the planet. Yeah, roller skating was super crazy big in the early 80s, and then it really dropped off to us roller skating nerds, which I really love that they laid into. Yeah, okay, this is weird too. Wasn't Adam going to school that day, and his grandpa was taking him to the store before he was taking him to school?
No, I think it was the day before school.
Oh, okay, because I was trying to figure out, what's everyone doing at the roller rink on? So I thought that it was like a weekday. I'm like, yeah, okay. That was a little.
Oh, you're talking about the very end? Are you talking about the very end of the episode?
No, I'm just talking about being at the roller rink during the day. I just thought it was weird.
Oh.
I thought that they were there during a weekday and it wouldn't have been open.
So anyway, so at the roller rink, Murray tries to win Erica a unicorn, but he says, because his little peanut loves unicorns. And I just want to point out, the little peanut is not only adorable, but it is Murray's continuous nickname for Erica. She never grows out of it. And I also like the storyline a lot, because you'll see throughout the show, and they pointed out, Murray and Erica have a lot in common, a lot more than they lead on.
So I wonder where that was leading to. Where are you from originally? You told me. Where are you from?
South Florida.
You're South Florida. Okay. So this might not make sense to you, or it might. He tries to offer her nachos and a churro. Now, I don't remember churros ever in the 80s. I mean, maybe they were big in Pennsylvania, where they're Jenkintown or whatever. Pennsylvania, but I don't remember having churros at the roller rink. I wish they would have when I was growing up. That was odd.
I remember when I played basketball in South Florida and I was younger, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was playing rec league basketball, we had a concession stand at the courts, and they served churros. It's just like an easy concession snack, because you just have it, you put it on the heater and they just heat up and they're delicious. So I remember churros growing up.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe in the 80s, like, it was more like, maybe I didn't know what they were, and I just didn't order, because I was so white bread suburban. I mean, we didn't have them at our roller rink, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so, let's move along to, because I have another question for you. So then we get to Dayglow, and I have the same question for you, Sean. What the hell is this?
Oh, okay, so that confused me. What's your question? What confuses you about it?
It's just like, he's like, oh, I look so cool. And I'm like, that was cool? It's this bright yellow
jacket. Absolutely. Absolutely not.
That is not cool?
No, and he had like an Izod or a polo underneath it, and then he had like some like Acid Watch Cavariccis and... I don't ever remember anyone having a solid Dayglow jacket or a solid Dayglow shirt. I think I remember like maybe a couple like sports guys had maybe maybe some athletes or something, like track people may have had some Dayglow, or, but if it didn't last very long, I'll tell you that. It was just like, when I saw that, I was like, ew, what the fuck?
It looks like, I can't even find a Wikipedia article about it.
That's how short it lasted.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you know what? You know
what?
You know what? Cindy Lauper had Dayglow like bracelets and I think eyeshadow, and there was like, I think maybe Debbie Gibson had maybe some, maybe Whitney Houston had some Dayglow. There was some Dayglow lipstick going around in like kind of like a no wave, new wave, post punk thing.
It really didn't
last very long.
I feel like they might have just like transitioned into what construction workers and crossing guards wear. I think it just became the uniform.
I always thought it was weird. That's like a couple summers ago, people started rocking those construction worker jackets. I'm like, what? Did you just get out of work? Why are you wearing that?
Right.
Acting all cool and shit.
So Beverly doesn't approve, and we get our very first, I think it's our very first Bev lie, and we'll point these out. The Beverly always has a lie of some made-up friend to justify her point. So this one, you pointed out. Yeah, so Marge Grossman's son got his foot stuck on train tracks, and the train took him right off. This is far from the most ridiculous Bev lie we're going to hear. But she always does.
But you know why she can get away with it? Because that pink jumpsuit with Bedazzle was for real. That was her outfit was fucking, like, she can get away with stuff.
Wait, let me get to the scene, you can talk about it.
Oh, I thought we were in the scene. Sorry.
Oh no, I meant on my computer. I want to see it. The pink jumpsuit. Oh yeah. Oh wait, no, that's not. Sorry, that's the wrong one. But I think it's the right. No, I think it's the right one.
She wears it throughout like the whole episode.
There was another outfit I wanted you to comment on. Oh yeah, it's the same one. That pink jumpsuit. And you said the pink jumpsuit.
Yes. I turned on the episode just to make sure we're in sync.
I think we are. We definitely are. Yeah, that pink jumpsuit. What about it?
That was so legit. Like, oh, but then again, I wanted to point out she's wearing that multicolored, multi-pastel jacket shirt thing again, and no one would ever wear that. That's a white trash thing. That's not. But the rest of her outfits are on point when she's wearing that pink, that kind of faded pink with the – it looks like someone personally bedazzled it with the little bling.
And knowing Beverly, she definitely bedazzled it herself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a home job.
So Beverly says Adam justifies his point. You're making this up. And Beverly says, okay, you can wear it. And – like her eyes had fire in them and fire rose. Like,
yeah.
Knew, like, she had an evil idea. She's cooking something up. Beverly always gets her way. But meanwhile, Murray and Erica find something to bond over at the roller rink.
Yes.
Barry. Yeah.
He's
Barry
got a fanny pack on too.
What do you think he has in the fanny pack? For roller skating.
He kind of taps it at one point, and it doesn't look like there's anything in it. So I think he was just trying to accessorize, but maybe he kept his money for nachos in it. I don't know. It was so weird how he's wearing it, too, like in the front. Like he wore it to the side or to the back, and it wasn't even that big of a thing back then. It was more like a utility thing, I feel. It's not like you let people know you had a fanny pack. It's like you kind of – like if you went running or hiking or something, you had that. It was not fashionable at all to have one of those.
I have another question for you
and
about Barry. Oh, you're probably going to answer it.
Go ahead. I think we're on the same page.
Are we going to talk about the shorts?
Yes, totally.
Okay.
Totally. I have a mark on my paper for this.
What is what do you say about the shorts?
Fashion consultant. Those shorts were more late 70s, early 80s than 83. That outfit was more retro. Well, maybe he was trying to be retro, but no one was trying to be retro, but everyone was trying to be up to date back then. Like that, like I, no, not many dudes wore shorts to the roller rink. And if they were, they were in San Francisco or New York.
Yeah,
that was more of a gay thing.
How often did you
roller rink?
The roller rink? Yeah.
Oh, at least once a week. I think I made out with my first girl there. I got my first blowjob behind the roller rink. Tripped on acid there. We used to get drunk at the roller rink. It's like the only place you could go that was open for underage kids, and your parents could just drop you off there for like 5 hours.
I got to say, your roller rink experience is, like, far better than anything they did at the roller rink. but
oh, yeah,
with that in mind.
It was a...
What were you going to say?
Go ahead. It was a den of sin. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. So even with that in mind, even if, with this innocent roller rink experience, finally Erica decides to, or Murray decides to let Erica open up about her quote unquote girl stuff. And we learn it's not really tampons and bras and shaving your legs. It's tales of underage drinking and hooking up with, drop-in musicians who live in vans. Some of the stuff is like, what? Who's my daughter?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. My mom had no idea when I was in like seventh or eighth grade at the roller rink. And peach schnapps was such a huge thing. Like everybody drank peach schnapps with orange juice. Fuzzy navel. That was like what you drank because it tasted good. And it would fuck you up. It was delicious. But all that sugar, you'd just be so – and you couldn't really smell it on anyone. But, yeah, that's how you started drinking back then was wine coolers and peach schnapps.
Well, my first – I think my first drink might have been beer or I want to say a rum and Coke. Or it's Jack.
Ooh, fancy. You're very sophisticated.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, when my first alcoholic beverage was. I think it was either beer. Well, the first time I got drunk was at my own party when I was a senior in high school. But the first drink I ever had, I think, was at my little brother's bar mitzvah, and my uncle was, like, sneaking me any drink I wanted.
That's awesome.
And my mom found out months later and was so pissed.
Ooh. Damn.
When I tell you, you're not Jewish, are you? You're not Jewish, right?
My father's Jewish. My mother's not. So technically, if you drop me out of an airplane into Russia, I'd be Jewish. But then if I came out of it, I wouldn't be Jewish anymore.
So Beverly
they take the father's
and my
side
mom,
in Russia. Anyway.
Beverly and my mom have so much in common. It's like scary. And it's one of the reasons I got my mom to watch the show. I'm like, Mom, this is like you. And she watches Beverly and she's like, that's nothing like me. I'm like, you're insane. So Murray is clearly pissed at Erica. And I love this transition by Patton Oswalt. My dad wasn't the only one in a new level of hell. And then we find out Beverly's plan. Her evil plan.
Yes, diabolical.
She shrunk the clothes. And, like, there was yellow patches on the shirt.
Yeah.
It
took me the second time to realize that the day glow had faded into his Izod shirt or whatever polo shirt he had on. Yeah, she really fucked his shit up. She dropped a mom bomb on him.
That's so mean. I don't think my mom would do that. My mom would be like, if that's what you want to wear, I just want you to be happy. Beverly is like, this is like really uncalled for.
I think my mom would have just taken them and not given them back. Or I would have gotten grounded.
That's the thing. Is like, we talk about the money that this family makes. Like, Pops talked about, he said, like, I spent a lot of money on those clothes. I don't know why, but the number 275 popped in my head, $275. Let's just say those clothes
were
$275. Yeah, she threw $275 in the wash.
Yeah, because everything was brand new, and, like, the shoes and the belt. I remember tucking our belts in when they were long. That was funny.
There was one line that I related to in terms of my mom. Beverly said, I always wash new clothes because you never know who tried them on. That's my mom's, like, motto. She's like, every time, like, she would never let me buy clothes from, like, thrift shops or flea markets because she's like, you don't know who died in that.
That makes me never want to go to a thrift store again.
But dude, like,
yeah, and the thrift stores, they don't wash them. Really?
There's probably so many bed bugs. Oh, my mom, like, grossed me out when it comes to that. But then we get our insecurity. I'm going to call these insecurity admissions. And Beverly says, clothes shopping was the last thing Adam and Bev had, or Adam and I had. Remember last week I told you, like, the structure is, like, at the end of the episode, it's like Beverly or somebody does something, like, to combat another person's plan, and then they say, it's because I have this insecurity. That's what Bev does.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Bev, I don't know. Clothes shopping as a family tradition, we all got to grow up sometimes. So then back at the roller rink, Murray finally just lets Erica have it. He can't handle this. Like, who's my daughter? What'd my little peanut grow up into? A peanut tree? My terrible attempt at humor.
A peanut tree? I missed that.
Oh no, I made that up. Do peanuts grow on a tree?
Oh, okay. No, peanuts grow out of the ground. They're a legume, aren't they? Am I fucking up? Am I just making shit up to impress people? Oh, and
no,
while he's
right.
talking to her, I think there was another inconsistency because he bought her a slap bracelet and she tried to take it off, and he said that you don't go against the slap bracelet or something. Pretty sure slap bracelets were late 80s, early 90s. I don't think that was 83. I do not remember that.
Yeah. So good.
I remember my girlfriend and I buying slap bracelets in like 1991.
That's a really good catch because, again, we have this timeline of 83 to 88. And you said Barry Garb has got to be at the very latest 83, but I also read that slap bracelets caught on in the late 80s.
Yep.
So did our timeline screwed up?
I think they got their timeline screwed up. Yeah, it's definitely late 80s. Because I remember going to the machine and buying it. Or I was at a store or something. I don't know.
Damn it, Goldberg.
You and I are right.
Get the timeline right. They never do.
Yeah, damn it.
Anyway, I want to point out, Murray can't handle Erica hanging out with Lainey. And I just want to point out, Lainey becomes like a recurring character, and so much so that she got her own spinoff.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Yeah, there's a show. It's called Schooled. It's on ABC right now, actually. But it's Lainey Lewis.
Can't wait to meet it.
So, yeah, and it's like the Goldbergs, but in the 90s. So Murray sprains his ankle, falling down, and I love the visual of, like, the cones around him, and he's just like, hey, Bert, go away. And Beverly comes to the rescue, and I love the line of Barry going, like, get him off the rink, he's embarrassing me. And Beverly goes, is that my fanny pack?
Oh, yeah. Borrowing your mom's stuff to go to the roller rink, I actually used to wear my mom's shirts in the 70s. She had these, like, disco, like polyester shirts. I know it sounds weird, but they look more like men's shirts, but they're like super funky with spiral patterns on them and stuff. So I kind of bonded with that scene a little bit.
Wait, which band shirts?
It wasn't a band shirt. It was just like a disco shirt, like something you'd wear to a disco. My mom had two different shirts that I was allowed to wear to the roller rink that were hers. They were long sleeve and had a big collar on them.
I want to make a point that the same person I talked to last week who had Judas Priest buttons bonded with the disco scene. Who are you?
I love Judas Priest. I had a Judas Priest button in seventh grade. Yeah, I don't know, man. Gay metal, gay disco. I don't know. There's a correlation there.
So anyway, this is where Murray and Bev, again, and I think this is like a recurring theme. Like, Beverly always has trouble letting her kids grow up, and Murray does too. And we'll see that, like, both of them have this, it's usually the problem that they can't let go of the kids or they're attached to the past. So that's what Murray and Bev realize. They're like, our kids are growing up. That was the point of this episode. Our kids are growing up. And then the next scene, the Muppet Show lunchbox that Beverly's deciding between packing the how that was badass, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would totally have to sit down.
I wrote on here tight Muppet Show lunchbox. But he was at that age where he probably had to stop bringing it to school. Seventh grade, she started giving him a brown bag instead of a lunchbox. I get it. Gotta retire the lunchbox. Not now. I would rock that shit hard. Oh, Dr. Fuzz? If I had a Dr. Fuzz? What?
What was your lunchbox growing up?
Star Wars.
That's bad.
Oh, and a $6 million man. $6 Million Man and Star Wars. Those were my two lunch boxes. I wish I still had them.
That's badass. I wish I had that lunch box. I think I had Lion King or Aladdin. I think it was either Aladdin or Lion King. It was a Disney movie.
Wow.
That came out in the early 90s. Yeah, and I had that I had that all through elementary school.
How much time do we have left on here?
We have 4 minutes.
4 minutes? Okay, I got to tell you before we go. Towards the end, the movie shirt is the movie The Black Hole with Maximilian Schell, the Disney movie that was put up against Star Wars.
Where is it?
It's towards the end. It's like right towards the end. He's got, it just has like a, it doesn't even show the full name of the black hole. I just noticed the spaceship. Cause I had like a model that I built from the thing. It was like a paper cutout thing. But yeah, it's definitely the black hole.
Good catch, dude.
Yeah, that was a serious, it was so quick too.
I was going to point out the Muppet show. What?
She calls her son a yummy boy when she tries to get him new clothes.
Well, it's Beverly
yummy boy.
Yep, she has these like little nicknames for her kids: yummy boy, schmoopaloo. They really go hard. I also want to point out the Muppet Show ran from 76 to 81, and it's possible that Adam just has been using this lunchbox for years, so I just want to point out, it does not interfere with the timeline that we've constructed.
No, because love the Muppets. I've loved the Muppets. Everyone loves the Muppets even past 76 to 81, for sure.
So you're right. So Beverly takes Adam to the mall. She realizes my boy's growing up. He needs to buy clothes. I don't care if this mall is closing, because the mall is closing. This is something my mom would do, too. And we get our song. We get our song at the end, which is Come Sail Away by Styx. I was very disappointed in this choice.
Oh, that was a bad choice. But they did a really good job of recreating that mall place. We had a place called Merry-Go-Round, which looks almost exactly like that place to buy cool clothes.
Here's also why I hated that song. It came out in 77. This is not an 80s song.
No. That was kind of a nerd song to end on. That was a dad song. Like, yeah, that wasn't – like, why wouldn't you play, like, something – during that time period or that year or that month. Yeah, that
was
That was odd. That was a weird left turn.
Yeah, so anyway, and also at the end, Murray and Erica bond over Murray's watching an early home video of Erica at the roller rink, and Murray just says, I don't need to know all this stuff, but if you need me, I'm here, which I think is a really sweet moment. But then we get to this new family tradition at the roller rink, and I'm going to spoil this for you, Sean. It never comes up again. This is the last we ever see the roller rink.
Yeah, there were some weird inconsistencies there. Moms and dads didn't roller skate. They dropped their kids off there. They didn't hang out.
Yeah, but I did love like the little montage of like Beverly being really good at roller skating, like surprisingly surpassing Barry. Murray's hugging the wall. I was a wall hugger roller skater too. I totally was. I was like, I can't do this. And Pops is hitting on, what do you call him, a referee?
Oh, this shit. Skate guard.
Skate guard. Well, Pops is hitting on the young skate guard, and that was awesome. Except we have this little bit at the end, which I didn't get to. So I think if I remember correctly, Barry's rapping, and I'm Big Tasty, I'm from the USA, and Pops goes, what the hell was that? and Sean, that was awesome. So I've been Reuben Wolf.
I've been Sean Gibbs.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next time on That Was Awesome. Thanks.